This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Republican debate is history. Did you get your fill of politics and the also-rans? My name's Kate Delaney. Welcome to the show. You know, it's interesting because there was so much debate about Trump not being part of the debate stage, and why wouldn't he take part in it? Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, goading him. And how many times do we say on this show, I said it, look, if I'm the campaign manager, why? Why would you do that? Because you're head and shoulders so far ahead of everybody else in every single poll. It makes no sense. So now it's about dissecting and looking at words that were said yesterday and then coming up with another scenario for future debates. And do we see any of those candidates? Did they make any strides in your mind that would make you change how you know you want to vote? I mean, here's the thing. To me, the meat in all of this is the independents. That's what everybody's after, because the independents, and especially too on the Republican side, can go in different directions, and the independent vote can be important depending on some of the possibilities of swing states. And more people have declared themselves as independents, so that's certainly something to watch out for. And the other thing that we have going on, of course, is what's going to happen in Fulton County in Atlanta with all the turning themselves in, meaning the recent indictment of the 18 plus the former president, Donald Trump. And he did what he was going to do on Thursday, went through the process. And it's funny because we talked the other day to Martha Zoller, who is a huge talk show host out of Georgia, born and bred there, knows the politics well, has worked with a lot of different Republican political figures. And it's like she told us, there's just no way, no matter what, how you look at this, that this is going to happen. She said she can't imagine it would happen in 2024, that there would be any sort of trial, even though there's the push to have that happen in March based on what she sees in the system. So that's interesting to look at when you think of the polls, when you think of where it's at now at this point, as far as the race on the Republican side. And it makes it, to me, just even more about primaries, which we already knew anyway, that it's about the voters and letting the voters decide. That's one of the things Martha and I both talked about. All right, we've been talking a lot about Maui, of course, Hawaii. We passed the 2-week mark on Tuesday, and I was looking at some economics of the situation, and Moody's is saying, the ratings agency, that they think the economic loss from the Hawaiian wildfires is going to be in the range of $4 billion to $6 billion. Wow. I mean, we knew it was going to be high. Let's put it that way. So how much of this would be covered by insurance? That's about 75% or more. We've seen the loss of life. You know, there's still so many people that are missing, tens of thousands of people in Lahaina, and other residents had to evacuate the island, and so much was centered in that historic resort city. And most of the losses are going to come from there. Moody's knows that, and they say that in looking at it. So moving forward, how long does it take to rebuild a historic city? And the answer is, who cares? We don't care about timelines. Somebody asked me that question in a mailbag. And I mean, we do care because of the economics for the people there, tourism. But there's so much to be done. The first part is the identifying of all the bodies, the cleaning up of the sites, and then looking at the situation of who's coming in and who's not coming. And that's why the worry of the governor was, we can't let predatory people who have a lot of money come in here, swoop down and start to build, because they have the money to do it right away. Right. So that's the deal. They have the money to come in and just start plunking it down immediately. All right. We're getting close to the U.S. Open. It's a big deal here in the United States, even if you're not a tennis fan. Speaking of pumping money, it pumps a lot of money into the economy of New York City. And somebody who'll be missing this year, Serena Williams, just a couple days ago, she had her second child in her 40s, which is supposedly the birth went really smooth. So now a second daughter, Adira River Ohanian. And I think of Serena Williams and the fact that she, you know, if you think about what she's meant to the United States tennis, 6 U.S. Opens. Last year was her last U.S. Open, and the crowd just went absolutely crazy for her. So again, congratulations to her and her tech guru husband. That's great news for them, because you never know with older mothers, etc. But that's super, super good news. Coming up next week, we're going to talk more about Ukraine and now what's been happening there. You know, the Russian lander crashing into the moon. Does that have an implication for the space race? But while all that money and all of that is going in that direction, what about the money to fight for on Russia's side of things, Ukraine? And where are we headed with this war as we talk about 2024 and we're going into more time on the clock for that? You know, I have to say, in the very beginning of it, I really did not think it was going to stretch this long. I really, really didn't. And just a couple of days ago, Ukraine claimed an attack on a base housing, you know, Russian supersonic bombers. Because this is it. Who's taking claim for what? And Ukraine wants to make sure, hey, we're here, we're in the thick of this, and we have the firepower, by the way, for this. So they wanted to make sure, listen, this is the second aerial attack on a base in the last couple of days, if you think about it. And our Pentagon, Brigadier General Pat Ryder said a couple of days ago as well that the U.S. was prepared to support F-16 fighter pilot training for Ukraine pilots in the continental U.S. if needed. You know, saying we are prepared to support a training effort here in the U.S. if the capacity is reached in Europe. He didn't give any specifics, but he said that's absolutely what they were willing to do. And so it's so interesting to watch, because you think about a Russian fighter jet that destroyed a Ukrainian reconnaissance boat near a gas facility in the Black Sea. That's what Russia released. And the recent Ukrainian attacks have brought the war to parts of the waterway that Moscow had considered beyond their reach. So that's significant. And, you know, I've asked this question where we keep hearing, well, Americans are weary of this. At this point, it's like we're all invested in this. The impact on the United States and so many of our allies is significant when you think of resources. And I think that's one thing that people didn't necessarily, you know, consider. Okay, so I have to say this because we talk about planes. On December 18th, 2022, passengers on this United flight 1722 traveling from Maui to San Francisco were seconds away from crashing into the Pacific Ocean. Isn't that terrible? The plane pulled back up in the air just in the amount of time. Finally, the National Transportation Safety Board released a detailed report on what happened, saying that the plane came within 748 feet of the ocean's surface.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Henry Krause's book is The Vicissitudes of Life, From Dusk to Dawn. Henry, boy, this book is interesting. The cover just even pulls you in. So first of all, tell us about this road to writing this book.
Well, the road was a long one. I was inspired to write the book based on my medical problems. In 2011, I had a kidney transplant. I have chronic kidney disease, and then in 2017, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma cancer. So basically what it was is how I fought and overcame these obstacles, and I wanted to inspire other people that just because you have a tragedy with something very serious, it doesn't mean that life ends. You can still have a purposeful, happy life. You don't want to just crawl up into a catatonic state and say it's all over. Some people do that, but the book is to prevent that.
Wow, so well said. Because you talk about it, that in the description, that we have challenges in life, whatever your challenges are. And I said I love the cover. And the cover, you've got this boat, and you have these wicked wild sea around the boat. And you say, and in the poem, A Boat at Sea, we're all boats on the thrashing sea of life. We rise and fall with the waves. People, as you just described there, react differently in their tragedy. So what can we learn from your book? Tell us more about the book, as we know it's inspiring.
Well, it depends on a person's bent. A lot of these poems are about tragedies, but I did include family remembrances and their valiant behavior, not in reaction, in being proactive. The idea of the book is not to react. Most of us, when we hear bad news, we react in a negative way. The idea is to step back, accept what it is, and be proactive. I just, I write every day. I'm on a blog called Medium.com, and I just finished a story about Winston Churchill and his wife. And I always thought that Churchill was such a strong figure. I always wondered, wow, what a guy. But in all his tragedies, one of the things was that his wife was totally behind him. And the other thing is, just because a person is, he had depression, he called it, he had black dogs. Just because you appear outwardly strong doesn't mean you're not a human being. And he would have depression, and she had some breakdowns. She came from a very bad childhood, and he didn't have a great childhood. His parents were kind of standoffish. And the idea is he didn't lose sight of his goal. That's one thing he had. And he had an attitude of, you know, keep going. And so I write on that blog every day. So there are things here. It's kind of a philosophy. I wrote a poem about the eclipse of God, I got the idea from a book that Martin Buber wrote. He says that just like you have an eclipse of the sun and it's dark, it doesn't mean that it won't pass and you have light. And just because it's dark, it doesn't mean that the sun doesn't shine. So that's an optimistic view. He wrote, of course, regarding that poem about the Holocaust, and that was his reaction. Beautiful, beautiful work, and I kind of adapted it. Let's see, the coffee table, I wrote, I said, it's funny how people sit at dining room tables or desks, square desks. I said to myself, well, why don't we have like coffee tables that are round, or conference rooms like the United Nations, where you're facing each other and you could see different people's emotions? Why aren't buildings built like the Guggenheim Museum, with its round? I wrote, of course, about my cancer. I wrote about an hourglass, because it's always in the back of my mind that time is slipping away. Maybe that in itself is motivating to me, because most people intellectually think about death, but when you have two fatal diseases with no cure, there's no cure for multiple myeloma. There only is treatment. I go to Sloan Kettering, and they can keep you alive through the treatment. And unfortunately, because of my cancer, my new kidney was affected by the chemo and the cancer. So now I can't live without dialysis. So it lasted 10 years, but and there's wow. certain things I love nature. So, you know, I wrote a poem about Robin. Robin, did you look at the book? Or you just
I did. I was thinking that when you're going through this, you talk about trees, you talk about rain, you absolutely dive into nature. I mean, what's really brilliant about your work is I feel like I know you, because you go through this and you can tell there is that optimism that you talked about in the beginning that rolls through. And I think that's the beauty of this book, like you're saying, that no matter who you are, they might not have what you have, but I have never met a person that has not gone through challenges. So
exactly.
in your book, From Dusk to Dawn, The Vicissitudes of Life, that's exactly what it is. You nailed it with that title. What do you hope, and you're really saying it in this conversation, Henry, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book, your poetry, which you could pick up at any point in the book, by the way?
Yeah, yeah. Well, people have told me, like, for example, I have medication management where a nurse comes in every 2 weeks to check, to put in my medicines. I take like 17 pills a day. And he told me yesterday when he was here, he bought the book because I showed it to him when he was here. He says every night he sits down with his wife and they read a poem. So that in itself, when people say, you know, this really grabbed me, people have told me, well, you know, I had a similar situation where I'm trying to think of something specific that I could give to you. But I think what you just said, it comes through because I write it with feeling. I think an author has to write with feeling. And I also work for the American Cancer Society fundraising. We're having a walk on October 9th. And so, see, this, it's funny. There's a silver lining in everything. Without getting sick with the cancer and the kidney, it's strange because late in life, I finally found out what I really wanted to do. I worked for the government for my career, which was okay, but it wasn't as fulfilling as this. And, you know, they say youth is lost on the young. If I would have known this when I was 18 years old going to college, it would, but you know, if you can't look back at things, you have to take life as it comes. And
you're doing it now, and that's the key. And so here's the thing. You can be inspired by this book, absolutely. And as we just said, pick it up at any point. From Dusk to Dawn, Henry Krauss, The Vicissitudes of Life. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thanks for coming on, and we wish you the best as you continue to do what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thanks for having me. And all I can say is please spread the word because I'm a self-published writer. And with these publishers, the author has to fund all the marketing money.
Yeah, absolutely. So pick up the book for sure. Thanks to Henry, and thanks to all of you for listening to the show.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. President Biden is condemning the Jacksonville shooting that left three black people dead as a potential hate crime. In a White House statement, Biden said, "As the nation searches for answers, we must say clearly and forcefully that white supremacy has no place in America." An attorney for former President Trump says he doesn't need any pretrial prepping. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, Alina Haba reiterated that Trump has done nothing wrong, despite four indictments totaling 91 counts. A tropical storm is expected to intensify into a hurricane and make landfall north of Tampa this week. The storm is expected to bring several inches of rain along Florida's west coast. Gran Turismo is taking a modest victory lap after barely crossing the finish line ahead of Barbie in the weekend's box office race. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
For his book that, boy, oh boy, this really resonates with me, especially my travels to Venezuela. His book is called Forgotten America, The Untold Adventures of Venezuela. So, Gio, welcome to the show, and tell the listeners why you wrote this book.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here, Kate. Yes, so I wrote the book I always wanted to write, but at the time, I didn't really know how to start the process, so I thought, what if I could make an impact that at the time really mattered? So my interest actually lie in the students I taught at the time. I taught English as a second language to adult learners, many of whom were from Latin America. The students in my class were obviously Venezuelan, and Venezuela was at a time of economic downfall. We might have heard of the president, President Chavez, recently passed away at the time. His successor, Maduro, was planning to take office. So, not only the Venezuelans, but also the other cultural groups became concerned. So therefore I took the opportunity to learn and actually travel out there. And from my travels, I created this story called Forgotten America to let people know, hey, what has happened and what continues to happen in Venezuela is important, and I think we all should take some notice into that.
Boy, I so agree with that. I mean, how fascinating that it's in a way that these people that you taught English as a second language, which is so important and is such a pathway to so many to having success in the United States. And then they taught you by what you learned and about Venezuela and what it reminded you of. So tell us some of the stories in the book.
Yes. Yeah, so I wanted to kind of intertwine historic events with fiction, but also relevant to situations that we might encounter. So we would expect in the story two characters. One name is Carlos, who is actually from this country, Venezuela, and he travels back to this country with his friend Ezekiel. And Ezekiel isn't new to South America, but new to Venezuela and the situations that have been happening. So he was kind of nervous. So some of the adventures that we see includes where how profoundly Carlos is encountered with his past. So every present moment that seems to be important to Carlos, the readers are drawn back to a specific moment in his past that Carlos has not yet really understood or might have forgotten. And one of those times is he starts to remember how he was taken when he was essentially a child into the military. And then at one point, he talks about some of the missions that he had to do. And he didn't really understand what these were or the impact that these missions had until the present. And for Carlos, it's a puzzle that he tries to piece together. And Ezekiel is there trying to understand how connected those events are to the present situation. So in the present situations, we see many protests, how corruption runs rampant, and Ezekiel knows somewhat about these past events, and he is also trying to help Carlos understand this. So it's a piece where the past intersects with the present, and I did it in this way to see how important information is being told and what information might be being left out.
Yeah, wow, I love that. Taking facts, taking history, and then creating the story for this novel. For you, was it fun to go on this adventure, Gio?
Yes, for, I always wanted to travel. I always like to travel because I think when we broaden our horizon, so to speak, or our way of thinking, it opens us up. We gain a better perspective of who we are, of the situations, and of the of different people. So I was very excited to travel there. But when each time I traveled, it became a little more daunting because I became more aware of the situations. And I'll give you one example. For example, we were my friend who was my tour guide at the time, we were traveling from Caracas to Maracaibo to see Lake Maracaibo and to see the history there. And we were going to take a plane, but the plane wasn't running at the time, so we had to take a bus. And the bus, that was an interesting journey, because at different places there were security checkpoints. And at one of these security checkpoints, the military, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know the language at the time, but the military wanted, actually demanded me to get off the bus and show my passport, and demanded why I was here and asking those questions. And my friend intervening, saying, hey, you know, this is very atypical. Why are you guys doing this? I know how you guys operate. You're trying to intimidate my friend. You guys want some money. And so long story short, I was able to go back on the bus, and my friend had to give them money, and that's what they wanted. So we see, I saw firsthand how frightful the military can be, because I didn't know what was going to happen. And I also saw some of the corruption that that is a part of the military or the police at the time.
Yeah, how scary is that? And then you get to witness it firsthand. What else did you learn about Venezuela when you were there?
Yeah, so one of the exciting things I learned is that despite all the opposition and all the plights that the Venezuelans were experiencing, they are a very happy, family oriented culture. They're there to support each other. Even the strangers did their part to try to help one another. So I saw this the feeling of camaraderie, of solidarity, of family being there. So I witnessed, even in the purest form, of how unfortunate situations can be, such as poverty running rampant, these lines, people have to wait, regulation of food at certain points of the week. Certain groups of people can only get a certain amount of food, and it was dictated by this regulation law that they had. Despite that, they tried to come together to be there. And despite the corruption I saw from the government, the common people, the everyday people, were very welcoming and friendly and happy to have people outside the country to explore how cultured and how majestic the country actually is, despite, again, what has been going on.
What do you hope people take away from reading your book, Forgotten America, The Untold Adventures of Venezuela, which you can get on Barnes & Noble or Amazon or wherever great books are sold?
I wanted to, so I created this story in a way to try to interconnect how the past could be relevant to our present situations. And I did that to nudge readers into a direction of being aware to ourselves, to our situations, to the situations that happen elsewhere, and to others. This might mean not just reading one newsreel or listening to one podcast, but about understanding what is being told, what is being left out.
Perfect place to end this, Gio Calvarisi. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Kate.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
That is what I call so transformational, and I think this is a book that you should go and pick up without a doubt. You can get it on Amazon, you can get it on Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. In fact, this time around on Author's Corner, Michelle Mattingly joins us, and her book is called Before the Empress, Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, and her experience in going there and what got her there and how she feels about giraffes is unbelievable. Michelle, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
So tell me about your journey in writing this book and Kilimanjaro. Share that with the listeners.
Well, this started when I was in my late 50s and realized my life was going nowhere. Wasn't real happy with my past, wasn't seeing a very happy future, needed to do something to kind of shake things up and put me on my feet again. And Africa had always been in my mind. I love the giraffes, like you mentioned earlier, and I thought, well, that would be a fun thing to do, to go to Africa. And somewhere in that process, the idea of climbing the mountain came up. And I thought, well, if I could climb a mountain, I could do anything. And all kinds of doors would open if I could just make that happen. So I went through the process and decided that I would go and do this on my own. I had to come up with resources for it. It was a major event to be able to put this together. But I ended up in Africa, met some lovely people there, and took my journey up the mountain. And although a lot of people think, well, you know, you have thoughts. When you're by yourself, you know, 5 hours climbing, you're going to think a lot of things. But from my experience, I didn't just think things. I heard things. And what I say is that I heard the voice of the mountain, and she is the empress. She is, you know, that song by Toto, Africa says, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. Well, I thought it said rises like an empress. So I always thought, okay, that's what she is. She's an empress. So that's how the title of the book came about. But I spent 6 days climbing to the top. And when I got there, everything changed. My whole life shifted. Those 6 days were the most powerful days I ever spent. And I made it to the top, despite the fact that I spent a few days throwing up and some days crumpled up on the ground in a ball. I did get there to the top, and it changed everything.
What was it like when the toughest part of the climb, who could you lean on? What did you learn about yourself before you actually got to the summit?
Well, all of my fears came to the surface during that time. Everything that you can possibly be afraid of, I was. Afraid of being alone, afraid of being abandoned, afraid of not being strong enough, afraid of failure, all of that. And I had the most a wonderful guide. These young men who do these treks up the mountain, they just are extraordinary. And there were no other hikers. So this was just me and the guide going up the mountain. And we really bonded. And just before the summit, I was not at all sure I was going to get there. I was so tired of throwing up and so tired of being weak and sick and achy. I just didn't think I was going to make it. And I didn't want him to be disappointed with me. And I said to him, I don't think I'm going to make it. And he looked me in the eyes and he grabbed both of my hands. And he said, you make a mistake. You think the mountain is out there. And he glanced out at where the trail was. And then he looked at me and he said, no, the mountain is in here. And he grabbed my hands and he pulled them to his heart. And he held my hands against his heart. He said, the mountain is here. And I understood that it was just about what I believed I could do. We all give up so much more quickly than we need to. And he was telling me I had it in me. It was going to happen if I wanted it to. And those words did everything. That there was the shift. And that's what made it possible for me to spend 9 hours just going up to get to that summit.
Wow. And all of this, of course, you can read all this in the book. There's so many juicy, wonderful tales and details and I think things that will make people really realize what they can do in their life. Again, the name of the book, Before the Empress, Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, Michelle Mattingly. We're speaking with her. And Michelle, you also have an affinity for an animal that I have an affinity for, giraffes. And tell me about that experience and what you have going on in Africa in the future.
Well, part of my journey included a message for my own future. And the Empress told me that there was going to be a place for other Wasafiri, for other travelers. She referred to me as the traveler throughout my journey. And she said there was going to be a place for other travelers, and I was going to make it happen. And her last message was, and Twiga will roam in your own backyard. And Twiga is the word for giraffe. So Kephas and I, we bonded so much. I literally adopted him in every way that you can, short of paperwork. He's my son. And for 7 years, we've worked together. And this month, we're closing escrow on a piece of property right at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro, where we are going to open a giraffe preserve and the Wasafiri House. So a traveler's home for people who want to make the journey up Kilimanjaro, but they don't just want to climb the mountain. They want to have a spiritual experience. They really want to be transformed.
Wow. Ooh, I just get chills even thinking about that. For you with this book, what do you hope people take away from reading the book when they get it?
Well, of course, the main theme is that, you know, what we decide we can do, we can do. When we all of our fears are just that, they're fears. They're not grounded in anything. And we have to be willing to take a lot of chances to get our dreams. But for me, one of the things that kept coming up over and over again, because I was the traveler, we're all travelers. And I think that Charles Dickens kind of summarized it in A Christmas Carol, where he said, we are all fellow passengers on the way to the grave. And short of that little morbid tidbit, I would just like to say that we're all just travelers. We're all going through a journey. And if we could all see each other as just fellow travelers here on this planet, maybe there would be less animosity, less hostility and judgment. Maybe we would just be kinder to each other going, yeah, we're on this journey together.
Yeah. When, you know, your children, the people around you, when you made this journey and then you came back, what was their reaction? And now, of course, they can even read more details and now you've got, you know, this book. What was their reaction to it?
Well, they definitely saw a shift, and it's not a week goes by that one of them doesn't comment about the fact that so many things have happened in the 7 years since my climb. Well, for one thing, I published the book, and that was a huge undertaking. And one of the things that I had been hoping for was to find a life partner. And I got married in 2020. So just so many things happened after that, and they all noticed how many things have happened because of my experiences on the mountain, how much less fearful I am because of it.
Wow, that's the hashtag, releasing fear. So now that you've got this book out, and I know there's something else that's rattling around in your head, what's next?
Well, I'm currently working on some children's books called I Speak Swahili, because I was enchanted by the language. And I thought, you know, what a great way to bond the two continents with children's language. So I've already published one book, and it's Animals of Africa, and it's both English and Swahili, all the animal names. And there's going to be a series. But beyond that, I'm really looking forward to doing a sequel to Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, and it will be Lessons from Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yes. Yeah. So, again, something that would be very, very handy for so many people that we've talked about. You mentioned it. Wouldn't it be great if we could all feel that kindness and that love and jump over that fear, because you'll see the transformation, which is what you saw.
Yes.
It's a great book. Before the Empress, Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, Michelle Mattingly. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And remind everyone again, you can get the book on Barnes & Noble, of course, but also on Amazon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.